Hey everyone, welcome to Small Town Talk. We're here at Ono Poke with the owner, Steve Ono.
Hey, how's it?
Good, how about yourself?
Good.
Welcome to our little podcast in Edmonds.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah. So tell us about Ono Poke. How did you start? You know, where'd you come from and how'd you end up here?
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You sure you only have 30 seconds?
Well,
I actually had been in a corporate world for quite a long time before this. So this is actually my first restaurant.
Okay.
I used to be in technology and then with retail. And, but I always knew that I wanted to do something different. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do something different with food. And I just never really knew what that was until I started seeing all of these fake, what I call poke places opening up, or poke places that, you know, growing up, being born and raised in Hawaii, it didn't seem like that was real because it wasn't to me.
Yeah.
And it was nothing that I wanted to eat, and it was nothing that, you know, my local Hawaii friends wanted to eat. So then that's when I thought, well, I gotta represent, you know, 808. I gotta represent Hawaii and do some really legit Hawaiian style poke.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I wanted to do it in a way that was the best that I could make it. Because in Hawaii, it's more of a cultural thing. So people eat poke every day. Mm-hmm. So they'll go to their local department store, grocery, everywhere has it. But there's also a price threshold because people in Hawaii, its cost of living is so high.
Right.
That most people will only pay up to like $15.99 a pound for it.
Okay.
And so what you'll find a lot is that they'll be using frozen, or if it's fresh, it's a really low grade fresh.
In Hawaii. Here? Okay.
So what I wanted to do here was that I wanted to make it more of a treat for people.
Right.
Because they don't eat it every day. If they eat it, I wanted it to make it, you know, raise the level quite a bit. So I just started buying all fresh, all sushi grade fish, but then another level, make it sustainable and make it, you know, at a price that I feel is accessible to most people without, you know, blowing it out of the water, like say a Kashiba or a Kashiba sushi, right? Which is actually all the same kind of fish that I get.
Oh, wow.
But because I do it in a quick serve method instead of having service
or,
you know, cutting it in front of
people. Because it's the presentation, it's the experience. Here you're like, you get that great.
Right.
At a better value.
At a better value.
Yeah.
So if you look at the amount that we give, it's quite a bit more than, say, any of these other poke places that are kind of around downtown. they're not born and raised in Hawaii. They haven't grown up with it. They don't understand where it comes from.
Yeah.
And likewise, then they don't really know how to make it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't taste the same. And I think people realize that and they know that, and that's why they come here.
Absolutely. And I remember the first time I came here when you first opened up, I was like, just blown away. I'm like, this is so much fish. Like, I'm like, I got full. I was like, this is great. This is like the perfect lunch for me, you know?
Right,
I mean, it's awesome to get that and to get it so fresh and, like you're saying, you know, not previously frozen and stuff like that. So,
because I mean, at these other places, and I'm not dogging those other places because they do provide a great service for people, and you know, they kind of give this idea of, you know, Hawaii style something. But if you're getting that product to, say, somebody from Hawaii, they're automatically going to be like,
this is not.
Yeah.
What is this? This is like a fish salad with some weird sauce sprayed on it.
What did I just pay for?
Yeah. It's like, what is this, you know, deep fried onions on the top? I don't know what this is, you know? And so I didn't want to do that. So core value here is to make it authentic. So although I do riff a little bit when it comes to like the salmon or hamachi and stuff that aren't traditionally Hawaii poke.
Right.
I have a little bit more leeway with that. But for stuff that I make with ahi, it's usually straight up, straightforward, as authentic as I can be. And it shows with people that come from Hawaii that
yeah, are you getting really good feedback from other Hawaiians?
Yeah, I didn't know how many Hawaiians. I knew there were a lot of Hawaii
people here.
But in my previous, you know, work life, I didn't really come across too many of them. But here I see them a lot.
Yeah.
So, and it's been awesome.
And how long, so when did you move from Hawaii here?
So I moved here in 98.
Okay.
I was recruited to work for a big printing company here. So my background is printing and color. And so I got moved out here.
Nice.
And I did that until 2016, so almost 20 years, 18 years of working in corporate.
Hitting the grind,
yeah.
So when it comes to like the sauces and stuff that you mix it, so you said like with the Ahi, so that's like in Hawaii.
Yep.
I haven't been to Hawaii, I need to go, but so with like when you go into like a grocery store, supermarket, wherever they're getting it. So they all typically do that same, some sort of variation of
and I
sauces.
Think it all comes back to where poke comes from, right? I think most people who do it here, they're not really clear on what it is or how it came to be. So poke, the Hawaiian word for poke means to slice or to cube.
Okay.
And that came from the old fishermen, when they would fillet all the fish out, right? They would sell all the fillets to, you know, the fish buyers, but they'd have a whole lot of extra, right? I mean, anyone who has fished, say salmon fishing or anything, once you fillet it, there's still a ton of meat on on the bones and everything. So that's kind of essentially where poke comes from. It was the fishermen who still needed to eat at the end of the day, but who didn't want to throw away all this fish that was still good, technically good. If it sat on the block on the dock for all day, then it started getting stinky.
Yeah.
But that's generally where a lot of these flavors and where a lot of these preservatives and stuff come from. So soy, salt, right? That kind of preserves it a little bit more. There's a roasted kukui nut. It's called inomona. And that's really oily. It's kind of like a macadamia nut.
Okay.
And so when you put that on it, it also acts as a preservative because it's so oily. And then things like sesame oil that has a really strong flavor does a lot of covering up of stinky fish.
Right.
Fish that's slightly going bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the roots of poke. So that's why when you go to Hawaii and you eat poke anywhere, the general flavors are all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Soy, ginger or garlic, sesame oil, sesame seeds, green onions, white onions. That's kind of the general base of poke, because those are, you know, the flavors that cover up but yet enhance and makes things all taste fresher and better, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's kind of what I do here. I buy Aloha brand shoyu, which is, you know, a Hawaii shoyu soy sauce that has a different flavor than, say, kikkoman or yamasa, that people from Hawaii recognize this flavor.
Yeah.
And it's one of the key things that I think really legitimizes us with local people, is that everything tastes the same, but yet the fish is so much better.
Right.
So what we end up doing is, instead of covering up, like with all the heavy flavors, we actually thin out a lot of the soy marinades that we make. So it's not as strong, not as salty, because it doesn't need it, because our fish is so top
fresh
of the line. So it more enhances instead of covering up. So.
And then with your like salmon and yellowtail, so you're taking what you know, and then you're kind of, that's where your riffing is coming in, or are you doing
that
with the other?
Yeah, riffing a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, one of our most popular salmon dishes is our spicy salmon.
Yeah, I get that one a lot.
Yeah, but that's a straight up riff of what we make in Hawaii called lomi lomi salmon, right? Okay. Tomatoes, onions. It's kind of like a salsa.
Oh, wow.
Salmon salsa, but we use, because salmon is not a common or a local ingredient, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, where salmon comes from, there's no salmon in Hawaii.
No, not at all.
But the first salmon that people saw in Hawaii was preserved salmon. So it was salt cured, right? And all salted. So that's where lomi salmon comes from. It was like a salsa, but they cut in all this pre-soaked, you know, they clean up all the salted salmon.
Right.
And that's why it has such a salty flavor to it. Oh. So my spicy salmon is a riff on that. Is it has all the same ingredients as, say, lomi salmon, but we just make it spicy.
Nice.
And it's with fresh salmon.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And that's the same thing with our hamachi. We use the highest gold seal hamachi from Japan.
Wow.
And it's the best. It's so nice, so fatty. And you can tell that it's sushi grade salmon or hamachi because the flesh is so white.
Yeah.
You know, white and a very light pink.
Yeah.
The lower grade ones tend to look a little bit more beigey.
Yeah.
And not as solid white as the ones that we get. So
nice. So how often are you picking up fish? Is it daily? Is it every other day? Is it once a week?
Right. I mean, so it varies for certain things, but our distributors are the best. We use Pacific Seafood.
Oh, nice.
And so we get deliveries of Hawaii ahi every day.
Wow.
And their salmon comes in every day.
Yeah.
And then we switch off. So we'll get hamachi one day and then albacore the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And the albacore that we get is fresh grade one from the coast here in Westport. So that comes every other day. So the hamachi comes every other day from Japan.
Okay.
And that's how we get our seaweed salad is from Japan as well.
Oh, wow, nice.
So that's the other part of it, right? Seaweed salad.
Right.
That's a big topic for us.
That's a huge thing.
I tried probably 15 different kinds of seaweed salad before I chose this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the last one I chose because it was the most expensive one.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone uses this really cheap seaweed salad that's from China. And so they take this kelp from the South China Sea. They add all kinds of funky food coloring and salt and
no
MSG and all this stuff to kind of flavor it. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
But that's why, you know, it stains everything when it touches. But
I
once you try that, I already knew that that's not what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so after trying all these things, they finally brought this one. They were like, yeah, but you know, this is the most expensive one we have. But it is real wakame seaweed and it's from Japan. There's no MSG in it. There's no food coloring in it. So try it. And as soon as you try it, and you've had it before.
Yeah.
It's so crunchy. Good. It's not slimy at all. It's fresh.
Yeah.
You don't think of like...
No comparison.
Yeah, you feel like... Yeah. I've never been a big fan of like having, you know, that on like the normal, because it's like, you know, usually when you've had it, it's always like there, it's like it's slimy and you're like, it doesn't taste that good, but then you eat that stuff and it's just like eating a fresh salad. It's crazy, the difference.
And it was funny when we first opened, people were like, ooh, I don't know, seaweed salad, and then they try it, and now out of all the sides that we do, minus our new mac salad that I do like Hawaii style, that's by far out of all of our sides,
the best.
Seaweed salad all the way.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a really cool thing.
Do you find that, so probably the seaweed salad, but besides that, like certain people like certain ones more or less, and that's probably informing what you're purchasing and...
Yeah, so purchasing, that's always been kind of a crapshoot, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine.
Especially in the beginning when we didn't know what the volume was going to be. You know, before this restaurant, like I was saying before, this is my first restaurant.
Right.
And, you know, I made poke at home, but, I mean, small little bowl. This is I'm making like a tray of poke, you know, like 10 pounds of it at a time instead of like a quarter pound of it. So it was all new to me. And I think over the last, you know, or I think through the first year, it was always like trying to find the right balance. And I think we do a really good job now. Yeah, it's always a battle.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the, just based on the product you're buying, it's like there isn't like a typical restaurant where like, no. Say you buy X amount of chicken, I don't know. Right. And it's like you don't cook it all that day. You got maybe a week that it'll, you
exactly.
know, if you're
exactly.
not going to freeze it or whatnot, where like you're serving fresh fish that's sashimi grade.
Right.
Like,
and once you cut it,
yeah,
time's a ticking.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And once we make it, we don't carry anything over. So yeah, I mean, to your point, it is very difficult because if we don't sell out at the end of the day, then we have to throw it away because there's no way we are pushing it to the next day.
That's got to be so hard to do, to be like,
so so it is hard and it's a balance, right? Because we have a lot of customers, and if they come in specifically for, say, like our octopus, but we sell out of our octopus at like 5 o'clock, then they're mad or upset or, you know, giving us, you know, 1 or 2 stars on Yelp because we didn't have what they wanted when they, you know what I mean?
Seems to be the story of Yelp from all restaurants that we've talked to. Yeah. It's just like,
I know. Everyone has this, a love-hate relationship with, you know, Yelp and Google and, you know,
Schubert's had this idea that, because we've interviewed him based on all the stuff we've opened, but we might still do it, but he wants to do a, like, read my bad Yelp review and, like, so we, like,
kind of like the Jimmy Kimmel
Guy. Yeah, exactly.
So, like, we might have, like, a party and, like, invite all of our previous guests and, like, bring your funniest Yelp
review. We have a bunch of them. I know three of them right off the top of my head that just, every time I read them, and it's funny because, you know, we have hundreds of reviews, right? And by far the majority of them are like great reviews, exactly what we want our customers to think, you know, that we make really good poke, really good value, really
friendly,
good service.
Yeah.
But yet you remember almost word for word, the three or four, just the 1 stars that you just are like, were you even at my restaurant? I mean, what planet were you on, you know? Or making these just ridiculous comments about your stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And
there's nothing you can really do either besides say, sorry you feel that way, but.
Yeah, she and I talked about that before. Yeah. Not quite that, but about, you know, our bad reviews.
Yeah.
Because he goes over with his staff with whenever they get bad reviews.
Oh, really?
And I do as well. Because
it's a good idea, just
neither of us think that that's the norm at either any of our restaurants.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think whenever they do come up, it's a topic for discussion because it's important. And you could have had like an off moment, but in this industry, there shouldn't be any off moments.
And people don't allow for off moments, you know, anymore.
The whole review system online, whatever platform it is, has like become such an interesting, what's the word I'm thinking of, way to affect businesses. But like, even in general, it's like, you don't know who this person is. They didn't tell, it's, I always go back to like, why didn't they tell you in person in that moment, in like a kind way,
right,
you know, say, hey, you know, like I had poke a lot or whatnot, but it's also like they're not saying it to your face, so they have like this blind presence where like it's not very brave of them.
It's called internet courage,
right? Keyboard warriors.
Right, people who, you know, they work a 9 to 5 but yet they look at themselves as like this de facto foodie who has this incredible palate for everything and thinks that whatever they say is going to be what people believe as true.
Right.
You know? And it might be true to them, but it's just odd. You know, we had some guy give us a really bad review and then explain to us that he did it in a way to be true to all of his followers. And it's like,
so that's what I was going to say next is, do you ever click on their profile and see how many times they've reviewed a place?
I'd like to say no, but yes.
because then you get to go through and see what their typical.
Right.
So it kind of adds some, not that you need to cushion it, but like maybe explanation, like maybe they're hard on 9/10 of the people they review.
Yeah, they're hard on us, but you know, they give McDonald's down the street a 5-star. You know, I mean, it's just
random.
It's random. Yeah. It's stuff that doesn't make sense to me. And honestly, I try not to get affected.
Because like you said, majority.
Yeah, by far. The majority is really positive. And they really get what we're doing. And they get the vibe that we try and create here.
Right.
But some people just don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, they come in a bad mood. And then anything that you say or do is not going to be good.
Nothing will make anyone happy at that point.
No, nothing. So we luckily, I don't think any of us really have experienced too many of those.
And
that's always good.
Yeah.
Well, you run a great business too, so there shouldn't be any.
Well, you try to, but you know, there's always
one
or two. Yeah, I mean, there's you have open doors. Anybody can come in. So,
And they may hate raw fish and not realize they're, you know,
true.
They just don't know.
True. Yeah. And it was funny when we first opened that we would have people walking in and go, oh, I was trying to get a double tall latte.
Oh, because it used to be Starbucks here.
And so it's like, what is this? What do you have? Do you guys go and take it in the back and cook it? Is this, you know, and just,
yeah.
Do you have teriyaki chicken? And it's just funny. But now, I mean, some of those, you know, I don't want to stereotype at all, but when there was like a group of older, you know, Woodway women with blue hair, you know, that kind of group that comes, that kind of frequents areas like this. They're some of our best customers.
Yeah,
sure. They never had it before. They had no idea what it was about. Some of them never had any raw anything before.
Yeah.
And now they're here every Tuesday, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of
cool.
It grows
on you pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's kind
of cool.
I was never a big fan of raw fish when we first met. And
I love
now
it.
I can't like stop. Like,
that's why I was laughing when he talked about seaweed, because when we've been together 12 years.
Yeah.
It's and the proudest moment here.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be on camera and tape.
Well, we've had lots of. Yeah. Our roommate at the time, he would like come and go. And when he'd go away for a couple months, because he'd work out of the country, he'd want to go to sushi because he'd go to the Middle East where
there's definitely
not going to be any raw fish. And Eric would order soy paper in all his rolls instead of seaweed.
I hated seaweed. I was like, this is horrible.
But now he loves it.
Yeah.
It's just inexperience. Like, he wasn't exposed to it, like you were saying. But I'd be like, can we get one with seaweed?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of a new thing. That's why, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, 10 years ago, sushi really wasn't. You could find a place every once in a while, but it wasn't to the degree that it is now.
Yeah, it seems to be everywhere.
Some are good, you know, some are bad.
Yeah, it was like I dream of sushi. You know?
Right, of Jiro.
Of Jiro, yeah. And
some
that whole thing.
Places have gone out of business that were mass catering to people that weren't that good too, you know.
Yeah, and same thing with poke, right? I mean, 5 years ago, who knew about poke unless you went to Hawaii?
Yeah,
I mean,
been somewhere there.
Even now, I mean, most people don't know even how to say it. You know,
yeah.
Or I'm not mentioning names, but no, I mean, it's relatively a new thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, you know, making this circle back, that I think a lot of the people's first experiences here are fish salad with some weird sauce sprayed on it, you know, of frozen fish that they don't know where it comes from. You know, they don't know where it was caught, when it was caught, how long it's been frozen. And I didn't want them to think that is what poke is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with this big revelation that I had, like I really wanted to show people that this is really what it is and this is what it could be and all that stuff. It's it's good for what it is, you know? I mean, there's got to be a McDonald's, and there's got to be somewhere that sells A5 Wagyu.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
and everything in between.
And everything in between. Yeah. And it's not saying that McDonald's is bad. It is bad, yeah. Kids. But, you know,
I love their fries. I can't.
The fries dipped in the soft serve ice cream.
He couldn't help himself. Yeah. He's like, I mean, the fries are
good. The fries are okay.
But everything serves a purpose,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
At moderation.
Right.
And, you know, if you go to McDonald's once a year, then hey,
yeah,
good for you.
And if it's at 1:30 in the morning,
yeah,
been drinking, you know, it makes a lot more sense, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's about the time when you go to McDonald's.
Right. So, I mean, there's everything in between. Right. So as long as they understand, oh, this is really what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And during the week, if they work downtown, that's the convenient thing to do.
Right.
But I just wanted to educate people and show them that this is kind
what
of
it can be.
What it can be and yeah. what the true roots of it is. And, you know, I'll talk to anybody about, you know, where it comes from, how we make it, what kind of fish we use, all that kind of stuff freely. And just as long as they know.
Yeah.
And it's not some phantom thing like, ooh, right. this thing from, you know, Poke Works, this Poke Burrito.
Yeah.
That's really not what it's about.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I really want to kind of highlight like our salmon too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have a misconception about farmed products, mm-hmm. you know, especially farmed salmon.
Yeah.
Because all they see and all they hear about, especially in an area like Seattle that has a big fishing background,
mm-hmm.
and everyone is like, oh, my dad, my grandpa, my uncles are all salmon fishermen. But I think it's been this real bad stigma about, oh, farm fish is horrible. It's
yeah.
bad. And I would agree with them for the most part. Any U.S.-based farm salmon farm, by all means, there are a lot of them are horrible.
Yeah.
The majority of them are horrible. But I think people think that they all come from one farm, you know?
Yeah.
The farm.
The farm.
For everything comes from the farm.
But, you know, I want to educate people and say, well, the farm that I buy from, Marine Harvest and up in Canada, they help set the standards for how a truly sustainable and well-run farm looks like. And they work with the Canadian government to make sure that the places where they put them are, you know, adequate for what they're doing. Lots of water flow, not sitting stagnant
right.
where a
yeah.
lot of the U.S.
they
ones
can't
are.
Spawn.
Where they just sit in their own waste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they just overpack their pens.
Can barely move.
They can barely move. They're not in fast, you know, water, so they get really fat and they develop sores on their sides, and so they feed them antibiotics. And because they're not moving a lot, their flesh is very pale.
Yep.
And so they give them food pellets with red dye in them.
Right.
Yep.
And all this bad stuff,
yep.
right? And so I want to make sure that people understand that that's not where we're getting our stuff from. We're
yeah.
getting it from this place that's responsible, that they care about their environment, that they're eco-farming to the highest degree possible, but yet it's sustainable.
Yeah.
And I don't want to argue with anybody. I fully recognize that you know, fishing here in the Northwest is a huge industry and people's lives depend on it. But if you look at how they catch wild salmon,
yeah.
it is anything but sustainable.
Yeah.
If you look at these reports that are just coming out now, they're saying that within 20 years in a lot of our estuaries here, that there are gonna be no salmon because
yeah.
of overfishing.
Right.
And you look at the orcas who are dying.
Right.
And
I was
all
just
of these
gonna
things.
Say that. So at some point there has to be some intervention, or there has to be a huge scaling back on fishing. So
right. they claim
have...
that there's you know, fish sanctuaries here that everything is quota based, and but quota, who's coming up with these numbers if you're already showing that these orcas are dying because they're starving?
Yeah, there were so many this summer.
And when the fishermen catch the salmon, they're not hook and lining it. No. Like, all the ahi that we buy are from individual boats who are going out that day or maybe 2 days max. They're hook lining, catching everything. They're GPS coordinating exactly where it came from, what boat caught it, you know, what time, where, you know, latitude, longitude. It goes with the fish.
Yeah.
Here, they're encircling a whole school. Juveniles, breeders, old fish, bycatch.
Yep.
And they're bringing all of it up in tons on boats.
Well, that's
and
like, we just recently were up at Lummi Island, and they have the reef netting there, which is kind of more sustainable, where they, you know, pick the one they want out and they pull it in, you know, off kind of the same way, right? It's not like you're not getting all this bycatch and the fish doesn't, you know, struggle as much and doesn't have like, it just gets, you know.
And if that was the case across the board, then hell yes, I would buy from them, you know, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
You get wild caught king salmon, they're catching everything, you know, and they can't just have an open discussion with me and talk about sustainability and talk about how they fish in the same sentence, because it doesn't make any sense.
So
that's why, you know, as a whole, I choose to buy farmed salmon. Not from the U.S., from Canada, and it's proven to be one of the best and the most sustainable and beautiful salmon that you can find anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And so I proudly stand behind that. And,
you know,
anyone can have a discussion with me about farm versus wild, because additionally, most people don't realize that all wild salmon has to be flash frozen.
Right.
Yeah. It's part of the whole our Food and Drug Administration rules, and I didn't want to buy anything frozen. Because unless they can tell me how long it's been frozen or how it was caught, if they're netting it and then freezing it and then telling me this is the best king salmon that I can get, I'm not going to buy it. You know, it's
that definitely makes it hard to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and to go back to, like, the way they're fishing, I think people think wild caught, and they think of a bunch of fishermen on a boat. Like, I don't think they think of the technique that you just explained, where they're taking up a whole school of fish.
Right.
So I think that's, even in itself, a conversation, just educating the public of, like, how fish are caught and in our area. And it's not just, like, a bunch of old men that have been fishing since they were 20 years old.
They're not all
that's now been made into a movie by Hollywood
off the back of their boat. It's anything but that.
So I think that takes away from the allure of, like, oh, this is wild caught, you know, and the magic behind it. But
And
so not to change the subject, but actually, I just completely changed the subject.
That's okay.
Sorry. You have been pretty, like, active in Edmonton since you started this place. I mean, it seems like you have kind of jumped in full, you know, feet first into the community and helping out other places. And how does that all work and come about? And I know, like, you had that huge thing where you helped that
teriyaki
shop
and, like, all that stuff. How'd that all start?
You like to ask these really big, wide open questions.
It's hard.
When I decided to leave corporate and do this, it was always my intention not to just be a restaurant, because they come and go, and I wanted to be more. I wanted to be that place that I grew up, that corner store as a kid, that you just go in and, you know, uncle's gonna be hanging out by the door playing his ukulele. And auntie's gonna be saying, hey, come in, how's it? I got this little treat for you. I wanted it to be a community spot.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be, if I'm going to be here, and I live in Edmonds as well, I wanted to be part of it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be, you know, just some person standing by watching stuff happen. I wanted to be part of everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, in the first couple days, we had some people come in, didn't know what it was about, and they were saying that they didn't have any money. So in my mind, it automatically made me think of this. Every Christmas, there's this thing called the Lokahi tree in Hawaii that was started by one of the television stations, the news stations down in Hawaii. And Lokahi means like a gift. And it turned into a gift. It means balance, and balance with everything. So it was more of a giving away. So that's why it kind of turned into this gift tree. Mm-hmm. But so I kind of took that whole thought process and was like, well, I remember working in corporate and going to New York City, and there's this pizza shop that had all these sticky notes everywhere. And I asked the guy, hey, what's these sticky notes for? And they're like, oh, it's a pay it forward. People, you know, will buy a sticky note for a dollar, and anyone who's in need comes in, and they forget their wallet or whatever, that they'll pull off a sticky and redeem it for a slice of pizza.
Okay.
So in my mind, that's kind of where I came to with my Lokahi wall, is that, well, a poke bowl is a little bit more involved than just like a slice of pizza.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought, you know, with my generosity, with the generosity of people in this community that I already knew, I knew that we would partner, and for $10 on their end, I would put it up on the wall, and if anyone in need came in, they could pull off a sticky and redeem it for anything that they wanted to eat or drink.
Wow.
So that was kind of the beginning of this whole being part of the community.
Yeah.
And that's been tremendously successful. You know, we've had lots of people donate to that wall, and we've had a ton of people use those. So
yeah.
It makes me feel good. But at the same time, as a business owner, if I'm the only successful business owner, it's no good for anybody. It doesn't do good for your community or whatever. And I go out and eat. I consider myself a foodie. And what better way to kind of prop up everyone in our community is by me going and visiting other restaurants in our community, whether or not they have the same type of food as I do or not.
Mm-hmm.
But promote them, you know? Tell people, some of my customers who haven't been to some of these places, hey, you should really go and try this place out.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And not be, you know, self, you know, centered and only want success for me. Selfish. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The opposite of selfish is not selfish.
Yeah, yeah.
and I really, really wanted to do that. And so I started doing it a couple times and started getting really great feedback from people saying, hey, this is a great thing that you do, promoting other businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of snowballed in a lot of ways. And so now I try and do that at least, you know, every other week, is try out somewhere new in the area and kind of write about it and promote it.
Yeah.
If I don't really like it, I don't really promote it.
But, yeah.
But, you know, if they're good, then I'll give them props.
Yeah.
And so that teriyaki spot was one that I really felt like I needed to help her out. After reading the story, I mean, most people are familiar with her and how her husband died fairly quickly of cancer, and she was kind of left to take on everything by herself,
or
just with the help of her church, which, again, also Korean church, so, you know, didn't really have a lot of English to help people, and she couldn't ask for help. And so myself and some other business guys and some other people in the community decided that it's not a matter of wanting to help her, it's a matter of having to help her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it kind of, you know, get a little choked up a little bit.
Yeah.
Just in knowing how much help she really needed, because she was doing everything by herself.
That's That's so
I mean,
crazy.
That was like, so she crazy would be there read till, you know, 2 a.m, just cutting.
Trying to prep it all.
Yeah, and, prepping.
Oh my gosh.
With dull, old, beat up knives and, you know, really crappy cutting boards and by herself with no yeah help.
And probably little hope at that point.
Yeah, and wearing her husband's old shoes and, aww, you know, just, yeah, I mean, just a sad story the
yeah
whole
yeah
way. And we really wanted to help her.
Yeah.
So we did, you know. I bought her a bunch of new knives and bought her some cutting boards and went in and helped her prep and sent some of my guys that I kept on my clock to go and help her wash dishes, take the trash out,
yeah,
help prep, you know, clean, do whatever. But, yeah.
It's a pretty amazing thing. I mean, the generosity, you know, it's just, it's cool to see. And that's, I think, one of the awesome things about living in this area. Like, Edmonds,
but you know what?
Shoreline,
when you talk about generosity, it's not anything financial. I mean, mm-hmm, yeah, we bought her some things, but, you know, I think it's mostly the amount of time that people
yeah that's
want to give of themselves, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's pretty cool.
It was good.
I mean, that's so amazing to hear, and, like, especially that you had, because I heard about your intervention and the difference you made. I didn't know there was more people involved, including your staff.
Yeah.
So that's really amazing to hear, but it's been like a reoccurring theme on everyone we interview that, like, how unique Edmonds is and that
yeah
we truly are a community and that
yeah
kind of takes care of its, you know,
yeah,
and people around
yeah
you, obviously, you know, even outside Edmonds. It's just, you know, it's awesome to have something like that. It's kind of, I feel like it's harder and harder to find these days, you know,
yeah,
stuff like that, and people.
And I think you're right in a lot of ways that we really do prop people up, and without a lot of hoorah, you know,
yeah,
like yeah, I hadn't said a lot of what I was doing in the background with her, simply because it's not a big soapbox that I want to stand on, you know. I mean,
well, that's not the reason you did it, right?
That's
it was
not the
for
reason.
Notoriety.
Yeah.
It was
yeah
for because you genuinely wanted to help. Because,
yeah,
yeah.
And that's really what it's about with promoting other businesses too. It's not, it's not about me, you know. Yes, I'm writing about it and I'm going, but I'm spending my own money.
Yeah.
I'm using my social media pages to promote other businesses,
yeah,
you know? And
to give them business.
To give them business. So because when it comes down to it, you know, one of the philosophies that I came up with, well, I don't want to, like, pin it all on me, but I would say if we all win, we all win.
Right.
You know? And if one person wins, it's never good, you know. So
yeah,
so I always say, you know, if we all win, we all win.
Yeah, and it's better to succeed as a community, you know.
Yeah, and it goes to show, because if we all win, then our whole community is involved, and everybody wins,
yeah,
and it makes it a better community. And Edmonds, like you said, it's pretty unique.
Yeah,
I wouldn't expect something like this community to be in, like, Seattle downtown.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you see it in smaller communities like Ballard, you know, or like Finney or something like that, you know, because especially Finney, when they had that big explosion and
right
the community came together, I would fully expect the same thing to happen here.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Well, that's almost like a micro community, right? You know,
yeah,
where, like, Edmonds is a bigger community, so to have so many businesses,
yeah,
not saying anything about Finney, but it, I mean, it is,
yeah,
it's a small little
yeah
area where we have, like, an entire town with thousands and thousands of people where,
yeah,
I don't know, it's just very unique in that, you know, even when people we've interviewed that have left other businesses and started their own, and, like, just the support they've gotten from everyone has
mm-hmm
just been, you know, where they could have taken it the wrong way and said, oh, you're leaving me and you're going
right
to start something similar, or
right
you might, or close by, you know, it could be taken so differently. So it's really amazing. Just
yeah
to, it's just such a nice repetition and like trend to hear over and over again from so many businesses, you know. So.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that, and I really love the fact that, you know, people like Andrew and Shu,
yeah,
who are doing their best to kind of bring up the neighborhood, because, you know, in the past, Edmonds / Deadmonds.
We were here for Deadmonds.
I know, I was here for Deadmonds as well.
It was a rough
everything
time.
Closed at 7.
Yeah, everything closed at, well, we close at 7.
Well, but I mean, nightlife-wise, yeah.
But, you know, kind of recognizing that there are new and younger people in this neighborhood.
Not antique shops anymore, just antique shops. And
I mean, you know, Pancake House and, like, Girardi's are great, but, you know, I think they recognize, and, like, I recognize, too, that there are younger people and there are more people these days that travel more. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of more food aware people.
Absolutely.
And who, you know, might not know super, super authentic, but they can appreciate it when they find it. The Noodle Hut, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just for an example.
Yeah.
That it's totally different from any other Thai place that you can eat at, but it's the best.
Yeah.
But, you know, and little things like that, like all of, like Bar Dojo.
Yeah.
I mean,
I crave it. It's like, because you just
market.
Can't find it anywhere
yeah,
else.
You can't.
Around here, at least.
Yeah, it's not a common thing here.
Yeah.
And it should be,
yeah.
Because it's good food. And I think people needed it here. And I think that businesses like that only do great things for the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like until Shu and Andrew opened up all those places, Edmonds was not a food place.
No, we had had like a couple new openings, but really it was after their insurgence.
They really started it.
And now, you know, you're reading stuff in the Seattle Times and like Eater.
Yeah.
That they're saying that Edmonds is becoming a food destination.
Yeah.
That there are all these places up north. Look north.
Yeah.
You know? And so they did a great job in setting a great foundation for this town. And I think it still has big legs still.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And rippling effect. I mean,
and
we're getting
effect.
More people interested that are business owners that are wanting to open stuff. You know,
this
is a thriving food community.
Yeah.
So we have an opportunity here.
Yeah, because honestly, if you asked me a couple years ago if I was going to open up in downtown Edmonds, I would have said no. You know, seasonal, you know, nothing open after 7.
Except the AM.
You know. And all these negatives that aren't negatives anymore.
Yeah.
Because
right.
That's not true anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, props to Andrew and Shu.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I consider them friends of mine too now.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
great.
The great thing, right?
Yeah.
All of us business owners, we all know each other now.
Yeah.
It's a small town that
small
everyone
town.
Knows.
And everyone supports.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We all eat at each other's restaurants, and, you know, they by far win over me because I got one and they got multiple that I can't stop eating at. But
Cool. Well, do you have any, like, events coming up or anything you want to promote? Any changes coming up?
Yeah. So another kind of thing that I do to promote other businesses that might not have brick and mortar like we do is that I like to support a lot of pop-ups.
Yeah.
So this Saturday, from 11 to 2, is another Hawaii little startup called Custard and Things Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They do these little things called flutos, which is a Filipino puto, which is a little a mochi ball, but it's steamed, so it's not like chewy and pulley like the Japanese mochi. It's more like a cake.
Mm-hmm.
And then they top it with a disc of a Hawaii style thick custard, egg custard.
Oh, yum.
And so it's sweet, it's custardy, and so they call it a fluto.
Oh.
And so they're gonna have those, they're gonna have some custard pies, they're gonna have some flans.
Awesome.
And they all sell out, so it's gonna
every
be awesome.
Every time I see that on your thing that they're having like something with them, I'm just like mouth watering, and usually I'm like gone. I'm like, why do I have to be gone today?
Yeah.
Days?
And then next week on November 2nd, I believe that's a Saturday.
Yeah, I think so.
we have Island Girl Seafood coming back. Oh. So it's another family-owned business, but a local family-owned business here from Port Orchard. The father, the daughter Allie, and the son Spencer, they have, they're going to be doing fresh grilled salmon burgers.
Oh.
They're going to have cooked and raw oysters. They're going to do seafood chowder. So they were here a couple weeks ago, and yeah, they sold out pretty quick. So that's going to be November 2nd.
Awesome.
Everything you say and talk about just sounds amazing. Constantly makes
I try.
Me
you know, it's funny. I like I'm doing now, I used to have a little stuttering problem when I was younger.
Okay.
But when I talk about food, it just... That's all of my family talks about, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
We're eating, we talk about food. We're like in the car, we talk about food.
Yep.
We're on an airplane, anywhere, it's always talking about food.
That's same as us, we'll be eating and then talking about what we're going to eat at the next meal, and we're not even finished eating.
But it's funny because you say that, like, I always make food taste so good. But when I'm talking about food, it's funny, I always think about my dad. He lives in Hawaii right now. As a kid growing up, or even now, if I watch him eating, he makes anything that he eats look like that's what I want to eat now. He makes everything look so good to eat.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say much, and it's not like he's making a face when he's eating. For some reason, he just makes everything taste good. So when I'm talking about food, I can see him eating, and like my mouth is getting watery, but it's funny. I can visualize him eating while I'm talking about food.
Yeah. That's great.
So,
well, now awesome. As people listen to this, they can think about eating food and want to come here.
I hope so.
And if you haven't been here, be sure to come down, grab a poke bowl. Poke, hey, see?
Okay. You're learning.
Poke. I mean, it's just an amazing place.
And thank you.
Thanks for taking the time out of your day to talk with us. And
it's all good.
And do you want to say location and hours?
Yeah. Location, hours.
Location. It's right on Edmonds Way in 100th on the corner by PCC, QFC, and Key Bank. We're on the southwest corner, 10016 Edmonds Way, Suite E. But we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 to 7, Sunday 11 to 5. And we're just going to be closed Mondays for the winter. We're going to reopen Mondays in the spring. But look out for our flash sales. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Since we want to have as much fish as possible on Sunday, I'll buy more to carry us all the way through. So we'll probably have day-olds on Monday, which we sell at cost. So it's a win-win for everybody.
That is, definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. This has been awesome.
Yeah.
And everyone, be sure to stop by.
Yeah.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.